And welcome in to the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5-106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. Joe Rexrode, good morning. Welcome back from the great state of Louisiana. How are we doing this morning?
Thank you. Good. Heavier. Feeling better about it, too.
You should be.
Worth every bit.
I'm sure it was.
You know what else is weird? Well, first of all, I have that echo again in my headphones. Oh, my God, I can't go on like this. But do you ever watch the live stream? You know, it's a little bit behind, like on Twitter.
Yeah.
Do you make a bunch of weird expressions with your face and lips and stuff?
I think so.
Yeah, because I do. And I look at myself, and I'm like, oh, God, that's what I look like? Need to, like, practice just, like, looking like.
Work on your face.
Yeah. Resting idiot face. Yeah. But. Yeah, there's just a lot of twitches and ticks. Really weird, man.
Michelle, good morning. How are we doing?
Doing good, guys. But my headphones went out when you were talking, so now I understand the headphones pain.
Oh, man.
It's very strange.
That is strange.
Yeah.
We haven't had any headphones issues in a while.
Well, so I've got this. I know people love when we start the show and I start talking about equipment that's malfunctioning, but I have that echo.
I still am convinced it's because your mic's too low, but that mic's been broken for 3 months.
Just turn this up higher?
No, I think we're going to fix your mic here in a second, but that's okay. We'll do that.
Oh, you're talking about this.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know, man. Anyway, whatever. How are you?
I'm good. Doing great. What a game last night on Monday Night Football. The Chiefs win 30-29. Coaches continue to try to go for two for strange reasons out there in the NFL, and did not work out so well for the Raiders. The Chiefs win 30-29 after the Raiders got off to a hot start in that game. A nice 4 touchdowns last night for Travis Kelce. It's pretty good. That'll win you some fantasy matchups if Travis Kelce's your guy last night. But the Raiders now at 1-4 on the season with that tough one on the road. And Devontae Adams is pushing photographers to the ground after the game last night, too. It's good stuff.
Oh, I missed that one. Yeah, Kelce, what, has like 25 yards receiving, but he has 4 touchdowns.
Yeah. Just absolutely destroying it with 4 touchdowns.
And then Adams has 3 catches for like 150 yards.
Yeah, he had 3 catches, I think 124 yards, 2 touchdowns on the night. And they can't guard Travis Kelce in the red zone, apparently. Like, Travis Kelce made some comment in the offseason. Like, I always tell Raiders fans that I love him because I'm guaranteed for like 200 yards and 2 touchdowns and a win. I'm like, well, didn't quite get to 200 yards, but you did get 4 touchdowns in the win last night, so. The streak continues.
And he really is, like, straight up uncovered in some of these. But, my gosh. Yeah, the dime right there at the end, which the highlights are right behind you, to Adams. Yeah, I just, you know, I guess the idea is you're going, you know, you want to put the pressure on them. You're on the road, be aggressive. But, like, 4.5 minutes left, I don't know. Why not take a free point?
That's my thing, like. I understand that, I guess, if there's like 30 seconds left.
Yeah.
But with 4.5 minutes left.
There's like, time to get a stop.
If you kick a field goal, you still lose. So, like, I don't know what they're doing here. It was interesting. Interesting decision. And look, they got the ball again. They had a chance to go down the field. And
Adams and somebody ran the wrong route there. Yep. Adams and Renfro.
Yeah.
You wouldn't expect either. Oh, my gosh, that is a bad shot.
They just ran right into each other. And then. Nothing down the field.
Well, that shove of the photographer was not good, not okay.
No, he's going to get either fined and or suspended for that, would be my guess.
Gosh. I mean, the guy was just like standing there, wasn't he? I mean, he wasn't even like getting in his face or anything.
No, it was not a good look for Devontae Adams. So a tough one for the Raiders last night. They're 1-4. I don't know if I'm going to say that they're done, but they're in a pretty tough spot at 1-4.
Yeah, and they're the best 1-4 team in the league.
Yeah, they are.
Is what I say. They're talented. You know, you don't have Waller for most of the night, and you do that, and you put yourself in position. But that's they're in some trouble there for sure. And the Chiefs, flawed, but rolling into the big game. 4-1 Bills Chiefs this week.
Yep, it's going to be a lot of buildup for that game coming up on Sunday. Both teams at 4-1. You know, the Chiefs, to begin that game last night, they looked really bad. Like, they couldn't block anybody defensively. They were just getting torched left and right. And then all of a sudden, you know, Patrick Mahomes can make, like, 3 or 4 plays a game where you're just like, I don't know what you do with that. And he made 3 or 4 plays like that last night, and that's the difference in the game. And how many times have we seen him do that so far even this early in his career.
Yeah, and he just looks great this season. And just, you know, other than Kelce in the red zone, obviously, just dominant. But, I mean, just throwing it to everybody. Valdez Scantling's out there, Hardman. I mean,
yeah, Jerick like McKinnon making big plays out there. Yeah.
Yeah. You got 8 or 9 guys who caught passes for them. They don't have that condensed two-star thing, but whatever. They got Mahomes.
They got Mahomes, and that's good enough this year. I think really looking forward to that game coming up on Sunday. It's a good, honestly, good week for the Titans to have a bye. So I can watch the Packers at 12 and turn my attention to Bills Chiefs right after that. It's a good time for it. Looking forward to that game coming up on Sunday. Speaking of the Titans, a lot's being made of this week, and we talked about it a lot on our show yesterday too. The one score game stat, 23-11 under Mike Vrabel since he was hired in 2018. The more I think about it, Joe, it's kind of a ridiculous stat. Especially the success they've had in the last 3 seasons since 2020 in this stat here. It's unbelievable how good the Titans have been in those one score games. And, you know, we talked yesterday maybe for some reasons about it. And I think the more it happens, the more you start to look at the players and you say, okay, well, I mean, they've been in these situations before a lot, obviously, and they've made some big plays to come up with, you know, timely wins on the defensive side of the ball. You know, back in 2020, made some big plays on the offensive side of the ball to win these games as well. But how big of a weapon is this for this team that I think is still incredibly flawed as they move forward here? How big of a confidence boost is that record at 23-11? Because, you know, we talk about stats and throw it out there all the time, and largely Vrabel and players just say, okay, well, whatever. It's stats. Like, I would think if you're a player or if you're Mike Vrabel, this one probably means something to you, or at least it should.
Yeah, and look, I mean, they've lost one of those this year too, and they'd be in really good shape right now had they not. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's got to be a confidence booster when they're in those situations, and I think it kind of – I mean, I think style of play probably has something to do with the stat, running the football effectively. A lot of these wins have involved, you know, Derrick Henry – late in the game, being able to either, you know, in a tie game, break it open or sometimes take you back. But a lot of times you're holding on to a lead. And then also, like, the goal line, how many short yardage stops have they gotten, including a different kind of one the other day? I mean, that's been a lot of – think about the Bills game last year.
Chargers game in Tannehill's first start.
Which was like, I want to say, wasn't it like Jeffrey Simmons' first big play of his career as a rookie? Yeah, So stuffing people in short yardage at the goal line, running the football on people, running the ball defense. I mean, I think that's a lot of it, right? So, I agree. I mean, 23-11 is pretty ridiculous, and that's a sample size that tells you that maybe you're not going to have regression if you're constructed this way with a lot of the same guys who have been a part of that. You know, Ben Jones, you know, Henry, Tannehill, obviously, Ben Jones. You know, Byard, I mean, Simmons. You know, they got a core of people who expect to win every week.
Well, they're 23-11. I think the stat that's maybe more impressive to me is since 2020, they're 16-5. They're 16-5 in one-score games. And, I mean, it makes sense. I was thinking about this yesterday. Like, they had plenty of one-score games the first season Vrabel got hired, and that was like field goal gate year where they couldn't find a field goal kicker and all those things the first couple of years.
Yeah.
Just think about how much better they'd be in one-score games if they had the field goal kicking. And, you know, to Randy Bullock's credit, he missed one this year. But, you know, last year, responsible for some one-score game wins. You know, this year, other than the Giants game, he's been pretty good thus far. So it does kind of feel like they found some stability there. But, you know, that's not the only reason. But 16-5 since 2020 is pretty darn good.
Yeah. Well, that's – like you go back to – I guess it was 19. Was it Santos missing four?
Yeah.
You know, he misses all four in a whatever. What they lose by two? I guess they lost 14-7. Is that right? They lost 14-7 to the Bills, like that.
I think so.
But you know,
you make four field goals, you win.
Right. Yeah. Make three. Let me do the math. Yeah.
Three.
Make three of the four, and you win. So that's a good point. Because that's got to be a part of a lot of these teams, good or bad, in close games. Is do you have a reliable kicker or do you not? So Bullock has stabilized that, but they still actually won a lot of those without that, too.
Yeah, it's been a really impressive stretch here. And the question is, what does it mean for this team as they move forward here? They're 3-2 heading into the bye. They're in first place in the AFC South. Now, how big of a weapon is this going to be? And how big of a weapon is another part of this team, specifically on offense, that the more I think about it, the more incredible it is to me. We'll get to that coming up next. But first, Joe Rexroad has a word from OrderGreen.com.
I do have a word from OrderGreen.com, which is the nation's number one online shop for all things cannabis. You're talking about high-quality THC, CBD products, edibles, gums, vapes, flowers, anything you want, they've got. There are a lot of benefits. It's a natural, natural products with tremendous benefits mentally and physically, stress, anxiety, inflammation. If you are struggling with your health, the serious health issues, they can be invaluable. We have a friend who can attest to that. And OrderGreen.com's team has extensive knowledge. They know what they've got. They can provide you a lot of information. You can know you're getting the highest of quality from reputable providers. Nationwide same-day delivery right to your doorstep. Save 25% off every shipment of gummies with a subscription. And then if you use promo code JOE20, you get 20% off your first purchase. OrderGreen.com.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Joe, we talked about this yesterday, and it's been really a pretty consistent theme with the Titans over the course of the past 2-3 years. Their red zone offense continues to be tops in the league. You can go through pretty much any other offensive statistical category, and they're not in the top elite, although their rushing numbers continue to get better with each passing game. But, you know, their passing offensive numbers aren't going to blow anybody away. Their total offensive numbers aren't going to blow anybody away. It's not like they lead the league in touchdowns or anything like that. But for some reason, and this has been a theme for a while with this team, when they get to the red zone, they finish it off. And I think there's a lot of different reasons for it. Obviously, when you have Derrick Henry, that's a pretty good weapon in the red zone, especially down near the goal line. He's a pretty hard guy to stop once he gets the ball coming forward. You know, Ryan Tannehill has been excellent, particularly at taking care of the football in the red zone and scoring touchdowns. And, you know, how many in the last 3 years has he run in himself? I mean, he's ran in a few of them in the red zone. Dontrell Hilliard's been a big red zone weapon this year as well. And I'm trying to figure out, like, you know, the Titans have good offensive pieces. It hasn't really translated this year to your traditional stats. Why are they so good in the red zone? I mean, they're so, and this is not a new thing. Like, 3 years in a row, they have just been excellent in the red zone. Why do you think that is?
It's a good question. Well, one thing I'd ask also is, how is it that it seems like every time they're in the red zone and Hilliard's on the field, no one covers him and he just has easy touchdowns?
It's a very interesting strategy.
It's like if you don't, all of a sudden you don't see 22 out there, and so, okay, well, there's nobody in the backfield. I don't know. But, and, I mean, the red zone success is kind of a tough deal for the Fire Downing crowd, because I think you have to give him credit for that. You have to give him some credit for – again, it's just like, I mean, it's every situation is specialized in terms of like your game planning, and so red zone is too. What are the red zone plays? Who are you playing? What do they do? What are their tendencies? I don't know, man. The Titans seem to figure out good plays to run that work. So I think you have to give Todd Downing, some credit for that for sure. I think you're right that it's got to be Derrick Henry. I think it has to be Ryan Tannehill's accuracy and tight spaces. I mean, I think that's most of it. Now, to temper the excitement a little bit, they haven't gotten there that much this year either.
They have not.
If you still look at their, you know, number of opportunities, it's way less. But when they get there, they're pretty good.
Well, right now they're leading the league in two categories that when you start to break down, like, importance of winning football games, pretty darn important stats. They lead the league in red zone conversion. So they're converting, you know, red zone opportunities to touchdowns better than anybody in the league when they get there. Now, to your point, they need to get there a little bit more often than they have been. And they're also the number one team in the league on third down defense this year. They are, at this point through five games, they're giving up 27% on third down. Like, think about
That's
a couple
wild.
Years ago. It's wild. Think about a couple of years ago. I mean, it felt like teams were converting every third down out there, and they could not get off the field. I mean, they gave up just an absurdly high number of third downs. And right now they're at 27.1% on third down defensively. It's probably not sustainable to be that good, but they've been incredible thus far.
Well, and mostly without their pass rush from this year. That's what's wild. I mean, without they haven't had their pass rushers, and one of them they won't, but they haven't had much Dupree. You haven't seen much Dupree out there. You haven't seen much of Danny out there. They're getting pass rush from Simmons and Autry, but that's one that's just hard to understand. And, you know, it's not like they're locking everyone down with their – I mean, that's the thing. It's like you can be great on – if you give up the 80-yard TD on second or first down, okay, great. Then you got a third down stop the next time through. But it's still – that's an important stat that over time correlates to success.
You want to hear a wild part of that stat? They're number one in the league in third down defense. They are dead last in fourth down defense. Dead last. No. They've allowed 7 of 9 conversions.
And that's happened a lot. Down. And that's, yeah, I mean, you can think of a lot of situations where that's, it led right at, like, okay, well, they, big stop, fourth and one. Oh, they got it. Yeah. So I'd like to know the breakdown of yardage to go on those fourth downs.
Yeah.
I know some of them were actually longer, had to have longer conversions. I would imagine a lot are short yardage, which is interesting because that's one of their things, too, is they've been very good as a short yardage defensive team.
They have it. Like, I can think of off the top of my head, like, I don't remember most of the fourth downs they've had this year, but I can think of one, like, the Bills had a fourth down. They ran Josh Allen. That didn't work. That's like one of the two stops the Titans had this year was against Josh Allen in that game where nothing went right. But it is – I don't know. It's hilarious to me that they're number one in the league with an incredible stat or percentage at third down defense and then dead last in the league, and it's really not all that close in fourth down defense.
Yeah. I don't know what that tells you, what they need to do. But, the other day, I don't know what it turned up, but at one point, Washington was 0-for-8 on third down.
Yeah.
I was like, my gosh. Again, they hit you with a couple shots. Two deep shots and then one deep PI, and then they have a chance to beat you still. But those are the things that are keeping the Titans afloat right now.
But this is to your point, when you talk about being shorthanded and winning these close games, like, you still have to be good in some categories that are important to winning, and the Titans are number one in a couple of those categories. So I'm not saying that the entire reason that they've dug themselves out of an 0-2 hole and are 3-2 right now is because they're the number one red zone offense and the number one third down defense. But, I mean, it's a pretty good part of it. When you can get off the field on third down, get the ball back, and when you do get to the red zone and you capitalize on those opportunities, like, when you're not as talented of a football team offensively as you've been the last couple of years, that's one way how you can stay afloat, is if your defense is getting off the field and when you do get to the red zone, you're converting on those opportunities. And, like, I don't ignore that. Like, it's basically 3 years in a row with the Titans. Honestly, it's really ever since Tannehill took over as quarterback that they have been not just good in the red zone, because they were good in the red zone for the most part with Mariota as quarterback.
He had, I think, a couple years where he was the highest-rated QB in the red zone.
Which, yeah.
So it's bizarre because you're talking about different systems and different coaches and everything, but –
they've been good in the red zone for a while, but they've been elite in the red zone the last 3 years. And what we talked about, the stat of winning the close games, you can't ignore that. Like, I don't ignore 3-4 years in a row of being an elite red zone offense either. And that's been both with Arthur Smith and with Todd Downing as well, which that speaks pretty well of, I think, the personnel that they've got. And specifically, the two constants there, Tannehill and Henry, have made clutch plays in the red zone.
Right, because obviously this year there's a lot of things that have gotten worse because they don't have A.J. Brown, but that has not affected that, which is interesting. I mean, of their touchdowns in the red zone, I don't have it in front of me. How many are to receivers? I think basically every, just about every touchdown in the red zone is either Hilliard or Henry, right?
Yeah, I mean, throw in a Tannehill Jeff Swain one every now and then.
Swain got one. Tannehill ran one in, but it's like the receivers aren't even part of the equation, really.
Which makes it even more incredible because
yeah,
you know
it really
who,
does.
You know who else is not a part of the equation? Austin Hooper, who I thought would be a big weapon in the red zone
right.
this year. Like Chig's got one in the Indy game, but
yeah,
there's right. not much there.
Chig almost got another one the other day.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. If you told me right now before the season started that they'd be where they are, then I'd be like, oh, wow, so Austin Hooper may be even better than I thought.
Yeah.
Nope, not that.
Turns out it's not quite how it's going. But it's, you know, it's the little things that, you know, Vrabel preaches all the time that these are a perfect example of those things adding up. Now, to your point, we're still talking about a team that at this point has not scored more than 24 points in a game through 5 weeks. So the offense is going to have to be better as they move forward here. But it is good that once you get down to the red zone, you're capitalizing on those opportunities. Now the question becomes, if you're Todd Downing and Mike Vrabel and you're looking at things during this week, well, that's great. Now, how do we get to the red zone more often? And I just, you know, with the roster that they currently have, and specifically right now with the offensive line that they have, that may be tough sledding for them to figure that out moving forward.
Yeah, because you'd also like some – you want to be good in the red zone, and a lot of times that's correlated success. You also would like to not have to mess around the red zone sometimes because you make some big plays, you know, have some long touchdowns. We're still waiting on the first one of those from Derrick Henry. I don't know if it's coming or not. I think the version of Derrick Henry that's ran the ball the last 3 weeks, Titans will take that all day. They can have that all year, but big plays can be hard to find. They did get the one big one, though,
they did.
The other day. So
we found the strategy. Throw the ball deeper to NWI as often as you can.
That must be it, man.
Ty on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I'm in the fire down in crowd, but he's been really a lot better since weeks one and two, especially given how beaten up that we've been. This is from Ty on the text line. So maybe Ty, maybe coming around a little bit.
So are you just in like the suspend him without pay for a month crowd
yeah,
then? Are you still on the,
give him a break.
The fire crowd? Fire him crowd.
Heidi from Dixon on the text line
What's
says,
up, Heidi?
Would Matt Rhule be worth hiring as an assistant now and maybe turn him into the offensive coordinator next year? We'll get a little bit more into Matt Rhule coming up later in the hour, but I don't think Titans are going to look that way.
No.
And matter of fact, quite frankly, if I'm Matt Rhule, do you see how much money he's about to get after being fired yesterday? It's like $834,000 a month for the next 48 months. I'm not in too much of a hurry if I'm Matt Rhule to do anything.
He's going back to college. He'll go back to college football. He's a good college football coach. Got him a shot at the NFL. His NFL rep is not great. And I don't think it was all his fault either. Bad team. But, nah, I mean, Vrabel, I mean, look, is Vrabel going to just bring someone in randomly from the outside? I mean, we know enough about Vrabel now to know that he is heavily, heavily slanted toward hiring from within, and his people and people he trusts and all that. So he's not going to go do something like that.
Speaking of Mike Vrabel, he had some interesting comments, at least I thought so, yesterday on Caleb Farley and his performance in the game against Washington. We'll get to those coming up next. But first, Michelle Knezovic has a word from Superbook Sportsbook.
Yes, Robbie, and I want to know, can you beat Vegas this football season? Hope you cashed in on the bets, the Monday Night Football bets, anytime touchdown by Devontae Adams yesterday and Chiefs on the money line. So let's look ahead to Thursday Night Football. You got Bears, Commanders. This one's a pick'em. I think I'm going to go Bears money line. They showed some promising things over the Vikings on Sunday, and Terry McLaurin, anytime touchdown. And Superbook Sports give you a chance every week to go head-to-head with the best odds makers in Las Vegas. No fancy computer algorithms, no guys across the pond sending lines for American sports, just the best team of odds makers in the business behind the counter at Superbook in Las Vegas. You want to look ahead to some college football this weekend? I know it's early, but I'm taking Tennessee plus the 7.5 over Alabama. That's going to be a big one. Plus, Superbook features some of the best odds boosts and promo bets anywhere. So download the Superbook Sports app or visit Superbook.com and start your battle against Vegas right now. Visit Superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. We'll be joined by our good friend Caroline Fenton coming up at 7 o'clock.
talk a lot of Tennessee LSU. Caroline was down there for Tennessee LSU, and things didn't go so well for her Tigers, but we'll get her thoughts on that coming up at 7 o'clock.
Her UT parents had fun,
though,
I bet.
They had a, yeah. I'm going to assume and that they UT had a boyfriend. Wonderful time.
UT, everybody at UT.
She was
I hope
kind
they
of
were nice to her.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of one of those games you're like, yeah, well, at least you tried. You know, the Bart Simpson cake, yeah,
nah.
At least you tried. Good stuff. We'll get to that coming up at 7 o'clock. Right now, talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, we spent a lot of time talking about Caleb Farley yesterday and his 9 defensive snaps for the Titans, including one that went very, very poorly, giving up a 75-yard touchdown to the Washington Commanders on Sunday. Didn't see a whole lot of Caleb Farley after that play. And Mike Vrabel had a pretty long press conference yesterday on Monday and talked about a lot of things, but one of the things that did come up was Caleb Farley and what exactly is going on with him out there on the field right now. Here's what Titans head coach Mike Vrabel had to say yesterday at his press conference.
You feel like Caleb, is it physical at all, you know, in terms of the X plays and getting beat, or is it more of a, you know, technique thing with him? Or
just... You know, we have to clean up some of those things and not get beat and not give up, you know, plays over our head, you know, for anybody involved. And, you know, we'll keep working on it.
That was Vrabel yesterday. And, you know, there's this big back and forth of why explosive plays happen. And you know that Vrabel, especially when it comes to criticizing players, is never, or at least rarely, going to be very specific about what's going on out there. But, you know, he talked about, you know, is it a technique thing? Is it a physical thing? Is it a mental error? And then Glennon with a nice follow-up there talking about, well, with Caleb, is it mental? Is it physical? What's going on out there? And I don't know, Joe. I took his answer there as, he just keeps getting beat deep, and that's a problem. And that's probably about as critical as you're going to hear Vrabel get in that situation. And maybe it's just because we talked about it yesterday, but, Joe, I took that answer to think, yeah, they're going to keep working on it, but they're probably not going to keep working on it with him on the field in the game if they can help it, would be my guess.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I've read things he said wrong, so, like, you may be right. But I think that's how it's going to go. Whether that was the underlying message there or not, I mean, I just can't, like, I mean, at some point, like, you have to just find other solutions. And the thing is, well, we'll see with Amadi again. Thought he was going to play. Maybe they just weren't totally comfortable. Obviously, he's had an injury that's been multiple weeks. So sometimes it's like, okay, well, you're off the injury report, but yeah, you're still not feeling great about it. But I still think he is going to probably be in the mix there. At some point, Molden presumably will be back. And as far as I know, that was a groin injury. Now, of course, those can be long-term.
Yeah, they can.
And he came back during camp and kind of tried to come back a couple times and I guess too early, but at some point they're going to have more options to not even have to. I mean, you know, you feel good about Fulton and McCreary. I think if I was the Titans, I'd feel pretty good about McCreary.
Yeah.
Looks like a rookie sometimes, but he can play. So it's basically comes down to like, what's the best combination? If you have your guy that you drafted to be your slot corner at some point, then it's easy. Like Caleb Farley is just, but you know, it's like, all you can do, I guess, is work on things, practice, take those mental reps,
well,
get in the film room. But, yeah, I don't see him getting many snaps this year unless they get devastated by injuries.
Well, Vrabel said, I mean, multiple times, like, you can't get beat deep. And that's consistently happening with Caleb Farley. And, you know, it's you don't want him getting beat consistently at all, whether it's deep or on out routes or curl routes or whatever it is. But especially when you're getting beaten deep left and right, like it's not like Caleb Farley's had that many snaps out there anyway. And think about how many times he's already been beaten deep. I mean, it's not great out there for Caleb Farley. Like, you know, I was thinking about Jonathan Joseph yesterday and the experiment that was at that stage of his career coming in here trying to cover for the Titans, and it didn't go well. But it wasn't like he was getting beaten deep left and right. He was just everybody was wide open in front of him, and he could never make a tackle.
Right, because he knew he couldn't run.
Yeah.
But at least he was like, okay, I'm not going to violate that number one rule. Right. Right?
Like, yeah. As bad as that was, like, I don't know. That'd probably be a good question to pose for a Titans fan. Like, would you rather have something like that or Caleb Farley making mistakes out there, getting beaten deep all the time,
but maybe learning along the way. Like, I don't know. Neither one of them a great scenario for the Titans.
Yeah, you'd say the answer would be like Buster Screen, yeah. Malcolm Butler, Adoree, anything.
Greg Maben.
There you go, Greg Maben. You know, you've had other guys too. Trey Herndon's been out there. You know, some of these other guys. But, yeah, I think the answer is definitely not like just constantly getting torched. But J. Joe too. Boy, that was a rough stretch.
You remember that? The Bengals game was bad with him. I think that was basically the end of his career. But the Pittsburgh game, Ben Roethlisberger eventually just said, "You know what?" At the first part of the game, it was Ty Smith, right. And that lasted about a drive. And then after that, it was like, "You know what? 33, right there. I'm going to him every time."
And the thing is, that was infuriating because it's like, make him beat you deep.
Yeah.
But it's just like, okay, I'll keep taking 12 yards. Thank you. With Farley, it's – and, I mean, I'm – you know, they like Vrabel might – like if someone posed a question like, hey, would you consider moving Caleb? Like he might laugh at that, and maybe that's just never going to be a thing. But honestly, I feel like when you have someone who is that fast – big, strong, long, everything like that, and they just apparently can't play the position they were, you know, drafted to play. Right? Probably worth looking at something there. I don't know.
It may be worth a shot. Tony from Mount Juliet on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says Caleb Farley looked purely broken on the sideline after he gave up the touchdown. How can we believe in him when he doesn't believe in himself? This is from Tony from Mount Juliet.
I think Caleb Farley has, you know, I think he has a lot to offer in terms of his intangibles. Very enthusiastic guy. You know, I believe Vrabel when he talked. I think there's probably some confidence boosting going on with the offseason stuff, but I don't think it's like some made up thing where he actually was in a shell, a wallflower in the corner, not doing anything. I think he worked his butt off. But how can you give up those plays in front of everybody on Sunday and not lose confidence? I think it's chicken and egg here. I agree with you. He looked broken, but after this many fails out there, how many people are like, all right, let's go? I mean, like, that's what you have to do with that position. But when you really haven't had any success at it, then
it's tough.
Yeah, it's tough. And you know you just got pulled, and you have no idea when your next opportunity is going to be. Yeah. I mean, how many people are just going to, you know, wipe the slate clean, go like Men in Black, and just be fine. It's not easy.
It's one thing. Like, I would hope that nobody expects perfection out there when it comes to playing that position. Like, even the best in the league are going to get torched.
Yeah, McCreary gave up a TD the other day.
I've seen Jalen Ramsey get absolutely worked in games before by Davante Adams. Like, it happens. But they also, a lot of those guys, have a lot more successful downs to point back on and say, okay, well, I'm a pretty good player. Caleb Farley really doesn't have those right now, and that's a tough spot to be in, confidence-wise.
Yeah. Like McCreary gives up the TD. I bet you there wasn't even a hint of conversation on the sideline about pulling him.
No.
Yeah, good coverage. Got beat. He'll be out next play competing. But again, it's also a guy who, well, look, it's a guy, you can compare those two guys. McCreary is a cornerback. That's what he is. He's a corner. He's a good corner. He knows how to play it, and he competes, and he gets it. And Farley, again, this just goes back to drafting him. Like, along with the back injury and everything else, they obviously drafted a guy who, like, there's no way on tape there was that much good stuff of him playing corner with good technique and everything. It's just, like, the whole thought process of drafting him looks real bad right now.
It looks rough right now. Got a text on the text line that says Jackrabbit has offered to come back for $3 million fully guaranteed. And it's a lot better than what we got right now. I did see that a couple weeks ago of Jackrabbit Jenkins on Twitter of Titans, I'll come back. Give me $3 million fully guaranteed.
The thing is, it's like you'd pay $3 million. I mean, he's not better than either your two outside corners right now.
He is not.
So you're paying it. You'd pay him more than you're paying McCreary to sit behind McCreary, I guess.
Yeah.
Eh.
I mean, in a perfect scenario, now with the injuries that they've had, he'd probably get out there at some point based on the way things
are
going.
Well, that's true. That's true. Maybe if Jackrabbit knocks it down to about a mil and a half, maybe John Robinson will give him a call.
He was already, to me, kind of showing some signs last year of I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if
him not doing anything, and now all of a sudden being in there is the way to go. Which is why the Titans haven't done that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's probably about time with him. But, look, I get it. When you're watching Terrence Mitchell out there, yeah, and it's either Mitchell or Farley, that's not – you got to have better choices than that right now.
I will say I'd probably feel a little bit better about Jackrabbit, even like the last year's version of Jackrabbit, than Terrence Mitchell. Yeah, I'll take Jackrabbit.
Yeah.
I'd even call him Jackrabbit. You know, last year I kind of reverted back to Janoris. I was like, yeah, you can't call yourself.
Well, you have to play well to be Jackrabbit.
Yeah, you can't just call yourself Jackrabbit. You got to be Janoris.
He was Janoris too much last year.
He was. 615-737-1025. We got more of your thoughts on the Titans to get to. We'll get to that coming up next, as well as with the recent move in Carolina yesterday. Should the Titans maybe go looking to poach some players from the Panthers roster? We'll get to that coming up next as well. Make sure you start NFL Week 6 off the right way with a no-sweat same-game parlay from FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. And it doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account. You'll get free bets back if your Thursday night same-game parlay doesn't hit. NFL same-game parlays are the perfect way to combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payday. We got a doozy on Thursday Night Football this week. The Washington Commanders and the Chicago Bears. Get excited. I think I've got the Bears on the money line, and give me Justin Fields over on rushing yards in what's going to be, I'm sure, a thrilling game out there. But you take it any way you want to take it. Build your own or choose from one of the popular same-game parlays pre-built for you in FanDuel's top-rated sportsbook app. All you got to do is sign up with promo code ROB if you don't already have an account. If you do already have a FanDuel account, you're all set. Just sign in to see what you've got. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. 3+ legs, minimum $1 bet required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after receipt. A max free bet of $5. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789.
I'll throw this out there because I took some notes for this. DJ Moore, if I was Green Bay, I'd call Carolina. If I was Dallas, I'd call Carolina. And if I was Tennessee, I would call Carolina because they just put Treylon Burks on IR.
That was Dan Orlovsky on ESPN yesterday in the immediate aftermath of Matt Rhule being fired by the Carolina Panthers, which, by the way, congratulations to Matt Rhule. He was officially the first coach fired this year in the NFL, so those – Mike Vrabel plus 900 odds to begin the season. Hope you didn't take him out there for Vrabel being the first coach fired.
God. Is he top of the list now?
Could be.
Who's next? That seat is just boiling over for Vrabel.
Look, man, McCarthy, he's looking pretty good right now. So he was kind of the leader in the clubhouse.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's like, it's almost like, how many Cowboys fans are like, God dang it, this means McCarthy stays? Like, everybody wants to blame him for everything and then he'll give everybody else credit if they do well. It's amazing.
I mean, look, he's coaching up Cooper Rush out there, baby. They're winning games left and right.
Must be. But DJ, I don't hate the Orlovsky suggestion there.
Well,
he's got to learn that it's Traylon, not Traylon.
There's
but,
a lot of Traylon out there.
But I don't hate that idea. DJ Moore?
Well,
see what you can do.
That's the thing, and it's everybody was talking about this yesterday. Matt Rhule gets fired. You know, they've made the Baker Mayfield trade to Cleveland to bring him in there. You know, I don't know that that's going to be the long term answer. Like, if you're a new coach and a new regime coming in there, like, are you riding with Baker Mayfield right now? I'm probably not. Like, I'm probably looking for another quarterback at this point, but we'll see. Right now he's hurt anyway, so he's going to miss the next few games with a sprained ankle. But the point is, over the next 2 years in Carolina, I think they have a grand total of 9 draft picks, which is not a great spot of where you want to be right now if you're a team that's going to be rebuilding at this point. So, you know, one way to acquire more draft picks would be to trade some guys that you already have on your roster. And obviously, DJ Moore would be a very attractive piece out there. Now, Orlovsky mentioned the Packers, mentioned the Cowboys, and mentioned the Titans as well. They were talking about it on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max this morning. And I think it was Tannenbaum that came on there and said, yeah, Buffalo Bills ought to take a look at it too. Just load up like the Rams did last year. And DJ Moore is 25. Right now, he's got a base salary of just over $1 million. He is already signed to another contract. So starting next year, that's a $19 million cap hit. And then that's what it'll be basically the next few years in terms of, excuse me, his cap hit next year is 25, and then it's right around 20 the next two years after that. So it's a lot of money, but he's a pretty darn good player on a bad team. If you're the Titans, would that be something, if you're John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, that should interest you moving forward, maybe acquiring or inquiring the services of DJ Moore?
Well, yeah, if you think he's, because it's got to be not just a rental. It's not a rental, so no. It's got to be. Do you believe that he is that good? Does he fit here in what you do? What do you think about DJ Moore and Treylon Burks as your long term top two receivers? Because Robert Woods is still a short term answer here, and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, you know, ideally, is a three. So, what do you think about the tandem of DJ Moore and Treylon Burks for a few years together? And is DJ Moore worth that money? I mean, he hasn't, you know, obviously it hasn't gone as well for him, but they've been bad. I mean, he hasn't had good quarterbacks. I think he's good. Is he worth that? That's the big question. I don't know, but that has got to be. And then, obviously, then you're talking price. How busy is the market for him? I know a lot of people also talking about Brian Burns, which, by the way, Titans need some pass rush, and so here Atlanta's up, and I don't think that's going to happen. But Brian Burns, there's going to be a market for him. The Panthers can probably make away with, can really beef up that draft haul nicely between those two. But what are we talking here in terms of price for DJ Moore?
Well,
how busy is the market for him?
It's a great question because, I mean, look, his numbers so far this year are not going to blow you away. He's got 17 catches, 197 yards, and one touchdown in five games. Now, I don't know if you've watched any Carolina Panther football this year. Admittedly, I've not watched a ton to this point, but I have seen some. They're not very good. Spoiler alert, and Baker Mayfield has not been very good this so far with Carolina. So you're talking about in the last couple of years, your quarterback situation has been Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield. So it's not a great quarterback situation that you've had if you're DJ Moore. And nonetheless, you know, from an overall standpoint, he's been productive. I mean, he's got three straight years of 1,100 yards receiving. Touchdowns have never really been there. He has four in each of the past 3 years along with that. So he's not been a huge touchdown threat, but you're talking 87 catches, 66 catches, 93 catches for DJ Moore. I mean, he's been a pretty high-volume guy catch-wise.
And a career receiving average of 14.2 per catch, which is good. You know, it was 18.1 back in 2020. I mean, 66 catches for 11.93. That's some pretty serious good production on those catches. And then, yeah, last year, it's interesting. He went up 27 catches last year for less yardage, you know, so just obviously used differently. Not as much of a big play guy. You know, Robbie Anderson was disappointing there, too. I mean, they thought they had, you know, a nice tandem. But, again, when your quarterback situation is as bad as theirs and just offense and everything, how do you really evaluate it? The guy's been pretty productive. This year is, I mean, those numbers are pretty bad. 17 for 197, 11.6 average. So I don't know how much of that, if any of that, is on him or him being limited. But those numbers are, like, not great. You're talking that's a five-game, you know, production. But, again, that's also a small sample size this year. If he's healthy, and for the most part he has, you know, for the most part he has not missed games in his career. He missed one game in 19. He missed one game in 20, and that's it. He's played every other game in his career, so durability looks good at this point.
Now, the natural question that I have, as I'm kind of looking at this, if you're the Titans, well, you just let A.J. Brown walk out of the door
right. And
didn't pay him that money. Are you then going to turn around and pay the money to DJ Moore? Now, admittedly, it's not quite as much as A.J. Brown's contract is going to be and his cap hit's going to be in Philadelphia. But it is still a pretty good amount of money. Like, are you going to turn around after letting A.J. Brown walk out the door and then say, okay, well, yeah, we'll pay DJ Moore? I mean, maybe, I guess, but I kind of feel like that's something the Titans may not do.
Right, and it will be easily. I mean, that's an easy second guess. Like, okay, so you're paying not quite as much, but still a lot for this guy, and this much better guy you let walk. But look, I mean, if you're the Titans and you can again, the market means so much here. You got to play, make the call. You got to look into it. I mean, if you can find yourself a long-term answer, and now you feel like you got two young receivers who can grow together, well, then you just have to. All you can do is just work on your roster as it stands and not worry about what happened in the past. It's just like a cornerback. Just kind of, just
gotta forget.
Move on to the next play. Move on to the next overpaid player.
Well, it's interesting though, because you know how you view your receiving core heading into the season. I mean, obviously, if you're the Titans, you drafted Treylon Burks in the first round. I would assume that you planned on him being a pretty big part of your offense, and he's not really been to this point. Both, I think, due to a combination of his performance on the field, but also now, of course, he's hurt, so that changes the equation quite a bit. Like, I do wonder now, with what we've seen from this Titans offense, does John Robinson view a receiver like this any differently? We probably need to go address wide receiver. I don't know. It may be the information has changed enough to the point where it's changed how John Robinson views it. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it may be. Looking at it just in the short term, because again, this is a long term move. Like you are signing up to make this guy a key part of your team. But in the short term, how much difference would Moore make right now? Because even if Burks comes back in a few weeks, you're still talking rookie year, and you're still talking growing pains and ups and downs and all that. Do you feel like Moore could come right in this year and give you like a huge boost to your offense?
Well, it's a great question. I mean, I think he's pretty clearly instantly your best playmaker out there besides Derrick Henry. Now, what does that mean if you can't protect the quarterback would be the follow-up question, especially given what we saw on Sunday as well.
Would the Panthers like to trade any more offensive tackles?
Got anybody else who can help us protect the quarterback?
Got a couple more tackles over there, Panthers?
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in Adam from Portland. Adam, thanks for calling in.
Hey, boys. Hey, I got a perfect idea. I'm so smart with this, man. We don't draft good in the first round, right? Like, traditionally, we're more often than not, or the second round. Just trade your first and second round picks from here on out. Trade the next, like, 6 years of first and second round picks, because you know you're not going to do well at that, and bring in assets. I think our window, you know, realistically, our window is only open probably for it's probably getting close, man. Everybody else in the AFC is getting good. And it's a really, the NFC looks terrible compared to us, I feel like. And so I feel like, man, if you got an opportunity to go get a player, don't really trade all your first and second round picks, but figure out a way, man, to get somebody. The bye week's timed perfectly for me. I say figure out a way to get somebody.
Hey, thanks for the call, Adam. I mean, look, I know he was kind of tongue-in-cheek there about that, but and we've talked about this before, Joe. If you get to the point where you're not comfortable using first and second round picks, it's probably time to find a different GM.
That's when you fire the GM, yes. John, you're a great GM. I don't trust you drafting the first or second round, so trade those. But you're doing great. Yeah. You know, the cap is very flexible. The cap is very flexible.
It is.
The cap also does exist. So if that's your strategy, at some point you're going to be like, oh, wow, we just have a bunch of veterans who make a lot of money, and now we don't have a good team.
But to wrap this up, and we'll get back into this discussion a little bit later, you know, maybe something that is worth looking at if you're the Titans when it comes to DJ Moore. I'm interested to see, you know, number one, if there is a market. I mean, there's no guarantee that Carolina's going to trade him. They did sign him to a contract, so maybe they'd like to have him there at the age of 25. But would be interesting to see if he is made available, what his market would look like around the league. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Caroline Fitton. We'll get her thoughts on the Vols and LSU. Take a look at Tennessee and Alabama coming up next as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.